to show how what we're learning becomes halachah l'maaseh, you know, pretty obvious. Rabbi Moskowitz asked me today, what would be the din? He asked the shayla, these chocolate chip cakes, I guess? I'm not really sure, I don't know, I've never seen this. But there's the chocolate chip cakes where people put them on a hot plate on Shabbos so that the chocolate chips melt. That they melt into, I'm not sure what it is, I don't know the Metzius here, but I guess it melts into the cake or melts flowing over the cake. So he wanted to know, Mishum Nolad, if that's us or Mutter. So Bishul's not a problem because the chocolate chips are cooked. So it's in Bishul Acher Bishul.
They are cooked before?
The chocolate chips, that's what I asked him, and also Tzvi Hagman knows about chocolates, and he said that they're also cooked. So I guess some of them are cooked. Yeah, cocoa.
It's probably cooked the cocoa.
So I mean, according this, so this is the issue in terms of Bishop. This is the issue that we were discussing yesterday. And so if you're making like the mug and have run against the lavush, so then for sure that would be allowed. And then in terms of Nola issue, so I don't really know the Metzius. It's all telling on the Metzius. I assume it doesn't overflow with the chocolate, so it's probably fine. My guess is that it's fine. Okay, anyway, that was just got that question today. So today is really our last day on a topic that we've been dealing with for the past 2.5 weeks. We're now going to move on after today. We've been dealing with the Hagdar of Bishol in terms of its Totsah, in terms of what outcome you're supposed to get out of the whole Malacha of Bishol. Almost every malacha has different aspects in terms of its deraisa definition. They have the totsa definition, and they also have the maisa, the act that you're supposed to perform definition. So we'll start dealing with that next week. But for the past 2.5 weeks, we've basically been dealing with the totsa. What's the outcome of the whole bishul process? That's what we started off with, and then we dealt with bishul achar bishul b'davar yavish, and then bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, and then we got into the hagdara of what is ochel. Whether ochel is lach or yavish in various situations. So yesterday we dealt with the case where the solid turns into liquid, and today we'll deal with the case where you have a tarovas, a mixture of both solids and liquids. So that's basically going to conclude our topic that we've been dealing with for the past 2.5 weeks. The end of this week we're just going to deal with smaller topics. The fact that bishul is a grumma might be a malacha that's defined being a malacha of grama, and we'll also deal with another daraisa of memahir bishulo, that perhaps quickening the process could also be a violation of midaraisa, even though you're not the one cooking it, just quickening the process. So that's what we'll deal with for the rest of the week, and then starting next week we'll deal with the maisa hamalacha. What are the maisa of a malacha? That's kli rishon, kli sheni issues. Okay, so dealing with the tarovas of lach and yavish. So what is the din? What's the status of a mixture which is both liquid and a solid? So the Mishnah Berurah in Shinei Cheslam and Beis, when he defines what the davar yavish, he says "Rotzeh lomar sheyiriku hamarik mimenu." He says that you removed all of the marak, the soup, the liquid, from it. So that's how he's defining yavish in terms of shinu chazdalet, about bishul achar bishul. So if there was some liquid in the mixture, and that would still be defined as a solid, so then one wouldn't give such a definition. If, let's say, if the majority is a solid and the minority in the miut is a liquid, so then you wouldn't say rotzeh lomar sheyiriku hamarik mimenu to define what a solid is. You would say, as long as the majority is a solid, then you're fine. That's called yavish. So the implication being that Mishnah Berurah holds that if there's any amount of liquid there, so then that would be both a liquid and a solid. As long as there's some liquid there, so then you would have bishul achar bishul issues to deal with. That's the implication of the Mishnah Berurah. There are other opinions which I don't quote in the Mar Makomos. The Shulchan Aruch Harav also holds like this. Let's see if I can get this over here. Shulchan Aruch Harav in Shin Yudches Yud Aleph, at the very beginning, he says Tavshel Yavish Shin Yudches Yud Aleph. Sifir Aleph. Tavshel Yavish She'ein Bo Rutev Klal Ein Bo Bishal Atabishal. He says She'ein Bo Rutev Klal. That's his Lashon. And the Orla Tzion, who's a Sfardi Posek, in Beis Lamed Ost Yud Gimel, so he says explicitly that it would only be mutter by mutter litin tapsa kar yavish she'in bo rotev klal. And then at the end he says v'tapsa shish ba'afilu mat rotev in litnu afilu b'makom she'in taptav ish elam kin v'cham adayim b'chdei she'ayat to let it bo. He also says, he says explicitly, if there's afilu mat rotev, if there's just a little bit of rotev, so then you can only put it on the fire if it's still somewhat hot, if it's yad to let it bo, because he's a Sfardi Posek, so he's going like the Shulchan Aruch. He says that it has to still be yad tzeles bo in order for you to put it back on the fire for hachzara purposes. So all these opinions hold that if there's just a minimal amount of liquid there, so then it would be usher if it's cold, if in terms of hachzara issues, it's defined as a liquid, it's not defined as a solid. Fine, so I think also Rav Moshe also seems to say like this, but it's his question at first glance is really the obvious question to say otherwise. He says in his tshuva here in Dalet Ayin Dalet Zayin, in the very first line he says Hinei lo muvan chilek bein rov lach l'miyot lach me'achar mir halach yivashak shiut zonin. Why would one think to differentiate? We have solids and liquids here, so as long as you have some liquids here, so then we should say apply the concept of yesh bishal lach bishal to the liquid. This is very different than our discussion yesterday. The discussion yesterday was dealing with a case where it's currently completely a solid, and as you go along through the process, it turns into a liquid. But over here, where you have some liquid right in front of you, so then you have liquid here. So then you have to deal with, well, what do you do? Yesh b'shalach b'shal by a liquid. Machlokes shulchan aruch ma. Whatever we dealt with in the past in the afternoon. So the svar makes sense. As long as there's some liquid there, so then you should be concerned. But there are sources which seem to imply otherwise, that we do go based on roves in order to define this tyrosis, this mixture, as either solid or liquid based on the rove. So the earliest source really comes from this Beis Yosef, the Rishon and Gimel. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Yeruchon. Says towards the beginning here, he says, V'chein kasa Rabbeinu Yeruchim b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah d'kol sherubo rotov u'mitzami v'yafaluhu v'hu tzonen k'shiyazir agave kira u'mitzdame k'ave mevasha gamar. So he seems to be saying in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that if it's rubo rotov, so then that's when we have to be concerned for bishal gamar. But if it wasn't rubo rotov, so then we're not going to be concerned. So Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say that, or he does say, that it all goes based on the rove. We follow the rove. If the rove is liquid, so then we define this as liquid. If the rove is a solid, so we define it as solid. And even if there's a mead of liquid there, still we're going to say in bishal achar bishal. It's not going to be a problem. We also find this in the Eli Rabbah quotes the Minchas Kohen, who says this in the Eli Rabbah in Shinah Chesed Aleph. He says the Mashi Kosev Yavish Perish Minchas Kohen Shahar Rove Hu Davar Yavish. When we talk about Yavish versus Lach, it's that the rove is a davar yavish, v'im rove rotov nidon l'davar lach. The rove is rotov, so then it's viewed as a davar lach. And the Eli Rabbah has the question of Vitzarathian. He says Vitzarathian on the Milchus Kohen, where he got this definition from. So he probably got it from Rabbeinu Yonah, but he leaves the Vitzarathian, and the same Vitzarathian, I think, is the Vitzarathian that Rav Moshe had in this first line, saying, well, why would you be mechalek? Why would you differentiate? As long as it has a minimal amount of liquid there, so then that liquid, you should apply yesh bishal achar bishal to that minimal amount. So how do you understand this shita? So there are three potential ways to understand this shita. So first we'll just give the three ways to explain this shita, and then we'll try to deal with Rav Moshe inside. I have a little difficulty understanding Rav Moshe, so we'll deal with Rav Moshe afterwards inside. Just three ways to explain this shita. So the Prima Gadim, in Mishpos Azav, Rishon and Gimel, Yod Gimel, he says that's probably the most explicit place where he discusses it. He says that this really relates back to a Ramah in Shin Yod Ches Dalet. which we really didn't give so much time, we didn't really deal with this so much, but in terms of bishul after bishul, bedavar lach, the Rama says that we only apply bishul after bishul, bedavar lach, in mitzamek viyafalo. It's only if it's mitzamek viyafalo. If you have a tavshil which has both liquids and solids in it, so then it's only bishul after bishul if it's mitzamek viyafalo. So both the Bach and the Gra and the Mishnah Berurah, so they all question, what does mitzamek viyafalo have to do with anything? Especially if the lashon of the Bach says that the whole concept of mitzamek viyafalo, mitzamek virelo, when did that come up? And the last time we discussed mitzamek viyafalo, mitzamek virelo, that comes up with regards to Shemei Echate, it's a Dinder Rabban. We had the Machlokas Tosos Rashi, by mitzamek viyafalo, if we're concerned for Shemei Echate, and we explained that whether it's based on the cooking or not, what does that have to do with this Dinder Raisa of Bishal Achar Bishal? Right now we're discussing Bishal Achar Bishal. What does mitzamek viyafalo have anything to do with Bishal Achar Bishal? That's what the Bach asks, and the Gra, and the Mishnah Berurah, we don't seem to paskin like this Rama. The Rama requires mitzamek viyafalo coming from Rabbeinu Yerucham, isn't paskin lemaisa. So the Prima Gadim says, yeah, but if you go based on this Rama, and the way the Taz explains this Rama, so then you could explain this concept of Rov. The Taz over there in Shin Ches Dalet explains that the reason why you need mitzamek viyafalo, even on a derisa level, I'll read it inside. It's not clear exactly what he's saying, but he says that melachas machsheves, because of melachas machsheves, it has to be something which is nichalai. If it's not mitzamek viyafalo, if it's mitzamek viralo, so it's not nicham, like it's not nichal to a person to cook this completely, because it's mitzamek viralo, so it's not melachas machsheves. So therefore, it was mitzamek viralo, so you'd be pater. That's what the Taz says in Shin Ches Dalet. So you have to know what the case that we're dealing with here in Shin Ches Dalet is. Because we're dealing with a case where the whole concept of Mitzamek Viyafalo and Mitzamek Viralo only applies once it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, so then even if it's Mitzamek Viralo, it is Nichale to cook it. So what does he mean that it's only Nichale if it's Mitzamek Viyafalo? What is he saying there? So in Shin Ches Dalet, we're dealing with a case here where we have a Tavshil. It's a Dover Yavesh, which also has in it Davar Lach, Sheyesh B'marak, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but it's a Davar Yavesh which is fully cooked. So here I can start understanding where the Taz is coming from, because we're dealing with a case where it's fully cooked. So you're saying in a case where it's fully cooked, if it's Mitzamek Viralo, so then it's not Nicholai. And that's what the Taz is saying. In a case where it's fully cooked, which is the case on Shin Ches Dalet, so then it's not Nicholai, because it's a case of Mitzamek Viralo. So even if you cook it, it's going to be Mitzamek Viralo. It's gonna be a little nichalai. But the problem is, but we're also dealing here with the liquid. And the liquid, we're dealing with a case of yesh b'shalach b'shal where it's stunning, so cooled off, the liquid. So then to heat that liquid, you would think that it is nichalai. Even if it's mitzamek viralo, you would think that it is nichalai. So I don't fully understand this taz. Why is it that it's only nichalei if it's mitzamek viyafalo, but not mitzamek viralo? Because the liquid, in this case in Shin Ches Dalet, has cooled off completely. Or at least for the Shulchan Aruch, cooled off somewhat, for the Rama, cooled off completely. So then to reheat that, so then that should be nichalei. So I just have a little bit of difficulty understanding this Taz. But just assuming that the Taz is correct, so the Prima Gadol goes on to explain that that's why you would have to follow Rov. Because all we care about is whether it's mitzamek viyafalo or mitzamek viralo. Because if it's tamik viyafalo, so then it's nichalai, you fulfill malachas machsheves. If it's ralo, it's lo nichalai. If it's not malachas machsheves. So the question is, how do we define this entity? Is it mitzamek viralo? Is it mitzamek viyafalo? Some aspects of it is yafalo. If it's a liquid, it's yafalo. If it's a solid, it's ralo. He's also taking an assumption there that solids are ralo and liquids, minastam, is yafalo. So we should go based on the rov, for the majority. If the majority is a liquid, so then it's yafalo. If the majority is a solid, then it's ralo. We'll follow the majority in order to figure out whether this entity, this mixture, is mitzamek viyafalo or mitzamek viralo. So he says that's why we follow the rov. That's what the Prima Gadim says. Akan the Prima Gadim. So Rav Moshe comments on this Prima Gadim, and he says, this Prima Gadim is all going according to the Rama. We don't passing like this Rama. The Bach argued on the Ramah, the Gra argued on the Ramah, the Mishabru argued on the Ramah. So therefore, if you follow the logic of the Prima Gaudim, so then this really should not apply anymore. Following the Rov should not apply. So the Mishabru says that based on this Prima Gaudim, that was only according to that Ramah, we don't paskin like that Ramah. So, Hadja Kusha Lejokta, why would you follow Rov nowadays? So Rav Moshe then gives a different suggestion. At the end of the second paragraph in Dal Ayin Dal Bishul Zayin, he has one line here where he says, "V'ulai hu mitam de'me'etam adim gam balach in bishul achar bishul." I believe Rabbi Eider also gives a similar svara. The svara is essentially as follows: Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish both hold, with regards to according to the Ramah, that really he holds in bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. It's just a chumrah that we have in the case of an itzan legamri because it's getting confused. So if you're going to get confused, so then we'll be machmir. Get confused with the case of just regular cold water. So Moshe is suggesting, b'derach ulai, he says, b'ulai humitam, he suggests that perhaps in a case where you have a mixture of a solid and liquid, you won't get confused. Because this is a case of a solid and liquid, it's not totally a liquid. Oh, so what's the gedder? How do you define whether it's a case of where you're going to get confused and a case where you won't get confused? Based on Rove, if the majority is a solid and the minority is a liquid, so you won't get confused with a regular case of a liquid, of just a cold cup of water. But if the majority is a liquid, so then you'll all of a sudden come to say, I'm allowed to cook cold liquid, so I could cook my cold cup of water. So Rav Moshe says this bizarre effort. I hear the Svara to argue with this whole thing, which I think Rav Moshe also understood, because he just says, Ulai. Because in the end of the day, even if there's a minimal amount of liquid there, so then you could get confused. We see that you have a cold liquid that you're heating up, so we see that you're allowed to heat up liquids. Just like I'm allowed to heat up a cold liquid which is among solids, so then I could think that I could heat up a cold liquid that's by itself, even if it wasn't previously cooked. So I do hear the Svara that to say otherwise. And I think that's why Rav Moshe also doesn't say this straight out. He says, V'ulai. And in the end, Rav Moshe is really machmir for this opinion. But there's also a stronger question here, because who's the opinion that says that we go based on Rove? Who's quoting this opinion? It's the Beis Yosef, it's not the Ramah. The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yerucham, who says that we should follow the Rove. The Beis Yosef is the one that holds L'kuli Amo, even Rav Moshe and Chazon Ish, they both hold that Yesh B'shalach B'shal B'davar Lach. So this cannot explain the Beis Yosef. Even Rav Moshe is going to have to agree to this. Rav Moshe is going to feed the Psak, his own Psak of the Ramah. But to explain the Rabbeinu Yerucham, who's quoted by the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef holds Yesh Bishalach Bishal B'davar Lach. So then there is a. It's not about any Bishalach Bishal, about getting confused or not. So you can't give this svara for Rabbeinu Yerucham, who's quoted in the Beis Yosef. So then again, Hadja Kusha L'Dukhta. What exactly is this section? How do you explain this idea of Rove for Rabbeinu Yerucham? So there's a Yechav Adas in Beis Memhei, who explains as follows. And this is how many Svarim passing, we quoted the Or L'Tzion. It doesn't passing this way, but Yechav Adas, Rav Avadya passing this way, and Kaf HaChaim passing this way. Yeah, you got a question?
Yechav Adas,
Beis Memhei. Yechav Adas. And he says that every single solid has some amount of moisture to it. Every solid has liquid to it. So you're going to tell me that if that's true, so then you can't put any solid on the fire. Because every solid has moisture. So LMI, you have to draw a line between which solids you could put on the fire and which solids you can't put on the fire. So he draws the wrong line. He says the way Rabbeinu Yerucham draws the line is based on Rove. If the majority is a solid, so then we'll view this as a solid. If the majority is a liquid, then we'll view it as a liquid. And this is how many Sephardi poskim paskin. You could argue with this. I mean, you could have a potato kugel is a complete solid with, even if it has like the small amount of moisture on it, no one would call that a liquid. So you could argue with Rav Avadya and say there are cases which are clearly solids and there are cases which you could tell that they are solids with liquids inside of them. So it's not 100% clear, but this is how Rav Avadya paskins, I have Sfardim Paskin. As far as I know, most Ashkenazim are Machmir. Like Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe's Machmir.
I'll find out.
Others might be Mekel. We'll find out if others are Mekel. And so those are the three potential reasons. So just to go over the three potential reasons to go based on Rav would either be based on this Prima Gadim who's explaining the Raman Shinin Chazdal that it has to be a case of Mesamik V'Yafalo. It's only going to be Mesamik V'Yafalo. In the case of Tarov, we'll go based on Rav to determine whether it's Mesamik V'Yafalo or not. Davar Lach is Mesamik V'Yafalo. Davar Yavish is not Mesamik V'Yafalo. So we'll go based on the majority in terms of defining whether it's Mesamik V'Yafalo or not to fulfill this requirement of Mesamik V'Yafalo. Or you say, like Rav Moshe, that it's Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, and it's really just about getting confused. So Rove is going to draw the line in terms of whether we get confused or not with a regular case of just cold water, which has never been cooked before. Or you say, like Rav Avadya, that we draw the line by Rove because that's the point in time where we could define this entity as a liquid. Otherwise, it's just a solid. Because every solid has some amount of liquid with it. So just with the 5 minutes that we have remaining, just b'di'evad, if somebody does heat up this liquid, this is in terms of all liquids, if somebody does all liquids, regardless of whether it's tyrolus or not, so you are allowed to eat it on Shabbos, if it was already previously cooked, assuming that it was previously cooked, because there are opinions that the Rishonim will hold in bishal ach bishal, even b'dar alach. And with the way we pass him with regards to Hilchos Shabbos about whether you're allowed to eat it or not, so if there's a machlokas, then b'di'evad will follow the most makel opinion. So b'di'evad, assuming that it was previously cooked from before Shabbos, so you know that they had the soup from before Shabbos cooked. They served it. They told you they served it Friday night, and they're serving it again, Shabbos day. So then you would be able to eat it because it was already previously cooked. So there are opinions that Rishonim hold Ein Bishal Ach Bishal. Legamri b'davar lach, not just in a tarobis, but legamri b'davar lach, and you would be able to have the soup, or whatever the case is, in a tarobis also. You'd be basing it on mitzamek v'yafalo. So that his kol shekin is in the opposite direction. So he's saying that from lach v'karish, so then we could apply kol shekin. So I thought the kol shekin was just that stam lach and stam yavesh is mitzamek v'yafalo, mitzamek v'ralo. He then says it's a huadin. It's not really kosher. He says huadin later on. Mesamik v'yafalo, mesamik v'ralo, the whole kind of basa rubo. Anyways, I wasn't sure what the right is from the second one. But here we're talking about the first one. He doesn't mention anything about mesamik v'yafalo, mesamik v'ralo. I mean, it could be he only mentions mesamik v'yafalo, mesamik v'ralo in those two, in Rishon Tes Gimel, and in Rishon Yud Gimel, because he's in the Mishpat Zav there. So the Mishpat Zav holds like the Taz, holds like the Ramah. He doesn't mention it by the Magen Avraham. When he's on the Eshel Avraham, he's in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham argues on that Ramah, so that's why he doesn't mention it over there. That's just the Derech Efsher. Anyways, I still have a little bit of problems what exactly Moshe is doing from his trying to prove that the Prima Gadim argues, at least on the second one of Rishon Tes Gimel, how he's trying to prove that it's against the original Prima Gadim. But in the end of the day, he says that it's against it, and then he suggests his answer that we mentioned before. And on the Maskana, the Rav Moshe says, like, I think like most Ashkenazi poskim, that says that Shalachin in din zebar umeray lahachmer, he says that this din is not so clear why we follow the Rav, so therefore it's better to be machmer. And then he says, v'shas hadchak agadol ulay yish lahatir. If it's a shas hadchak, if it's a very big shas hadchak, so then maybe you could be making shas hadchak agadol ulay yish lahatir. Not just Shas Adchak can be Mekel, but a big Shas Adchak, maybe you can be Mekel. Okay, we're going to finish with Melachos Grama tomorrow. Why is that?